Welcome to the Journey Church Message Replay. If you were not able to be with us live when this message was delivered, or you just want to take a deeper dive into God's Word, this is where you can find the latest message delivered here at Journey. Be sure to click the subscribe button on the podcast service you are listening to or the video channel you are watching right now. That way you won't miss anything because you will be notified every time a new message is uploaded. Our goal here at Journey is to help you discover your real life purpose in Jesus so that you can make a difference in your world. This message you're about to hear is going to both encourage and challenge you to do just that. If you like what you hear, then go ahead and hit that like and share buttons below and leave us a comment as well. There are more ways to contact us down in the notes section. If you want to know more about us, then you just have to search Journey Church Eva online and on social media. Now, get ready and let God speak to you through this message today.
So let's just pray and jump right into this. Father, thank you for what you're doing. Lord, thank you for what you're doing. People's lives are being changed and challenged, and they're rising up to it. They're getting saved. They're getting rededicated. They're restoring their marriages, God, their finances. Lord, you're touching every area of our life, and God, here's the thing about it. You've always wanted to do this. That's what you live for, God. That's why you exist, is to bless and inhabit the praise of your people. So, Lord, again, I pray that a familiar spirit never touch this place, that the worship and the word are always fresh and anointed to the every ear that hears, and we do not grow dull of hearing the word of God. But, Lord, it rises us up, not just on the edge of our seat, but out of our seat and into your heavenly realm for your glory in Jesus' name. Say amen.
Amen.
Well, welcome to the first Sunday of a new message series we've entitled Heaven, Hell, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
The three H's that are involved in everybody's life to some extent. Now, we want you to have the first H and the last H. We don't want you to have the middle H. We want you to have heaven. We don't want you to have hell, but we want you to have the Holy Ghost. And can I say this? You can't have heaven without the Holy Ghost, and you can't have the Holy Ghost without heaven. And everything on those two bookends, everything in the middle is trying to get you off course where you will not experience heaven or the Holy Ghost, but that you indeed will experience hell, at least on this earth, and for most, a lot of people, eternity there too. And that's what we don't want to happen, and that's why everybody has their opinion about heaven. There's songs written about heaven. There's movies written about heaven. There's Christian songs about heaven. There are secular songs about heaven. Heaven's just this mystical, wonderful poetry type of place, and it's not that at all. Amen. It is a tangible place. The best definition I could give you of heaven this morning is wherever God's at. Where God is, that's heaven. Amen? Where God isn't, that's hell. Hey, it's just plain and simple. That's not the Divine's dictionary. That's not Scofield. That's Joey's definition. Amen? And I think it's a good one because I got it from God. Now, let me go ahead and put up the first note for you today. Most people believe they're going to heaven. Without anything about God, religion, Jesus, anything, I just believe I'm going to go to heaven. There are a handful of people, not many, that are saying, you know what, your true satanic, demonic, given over to reprobate mind people say, man, I'm going to hell and I can't wait to get to the party. And we'll talk about hell next week. It will not be a party there. I promise you, you're not going to party in hell like you think that the devil's deceived you. Hell is a real place. It's not a fictitious place. It is a real place, and we'll talk about that next week. But most people think, well, man, you know, what happens when you die? I either don't know or maybe I can go to heaven. Maybe I can go to heaven. Now, for just a moment, if we believe in heaven, and how many believe in heaven today? How many believe in heaven for eternity? So if heaven's going to be longer than anything we've experienced, as a matter of fact, our life on earth is but a vapor. It appears for a moment, then it vanishes away. Yeah. Amen? Amen? This is very temporary around here. But if we're going to be eternity in heaven, shouldn't we know, number one, how to get there, and then once we get there, what it's going to be like? Yeah. Since it's going to be like forever, without an ending, eternity. Amen? So, now let me tell you something. One of the prerequisites of getting to heaven is you have to die. Now look around in here. Every single person in here will die unless Jesus comes back. And then we will be dead to this world still. because we'll take on a celestial heavenly body. Nothing about this is permanent. Can I have a better amen there?
Amen.
Now, do you know what the rate of dying is? 100%. So far, it's been 100%, except with two people that got caught up, but they still died to this world to go to heaven. So it's 100% success rate that you, sir, and you, ma'am, will one day die. Aren't you glad you came to Journey Church this morning? But if you're in Christ, that's not a bother. It's not a big deal. Matter of fact, it's a reward. Hallelujah. According to how you look at it. But in the world, everybody say the world. And this statistic I got off, I think it was a book I was reading, David Jeremiah's book or something about it, but I don't know when the statistics were, but I think it's been in the last 3 to 5 years, so there's probably some newer statistics. 3 people around the world every second die. 1, 3 people's gone. 2, 3 people's gone. 3 more people. 3 more people just died. 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 3 more people just, gone. Per minute, that's 180 people every minute die. Over the course of about a year, an average of 250,000 per day. Per day. Today, 200 to 250,000 people will either go to heaven or they'll go to eternity in hell. Gets a little more real now, don't it? Today, from the time you got up to the time you go to bed, close to 250,000 of people will either face eternity with Jesus or they'll face an eternity in damnation with hell. Yeah. Guys, and God designed it this way. Now, we will learn next week, hell was not originally designed for you or me. It wasn't designed for us. We wasn't supposed to be there. But we've only went there because of our choices. We made it a part of us. God didn't make it a part of us, but we made it a part of us. Okay, I'm trying not to get into next week. Everybody say, everybody dying. Let that sink in. Now, let me tell you something about everybody dying. We live in this fantasy world, especially in the last 25 to 50 years. Go ahead and put the next note up. Dying does not qualify you to go to heaven. Just because you die don't mean you're going to heaven. Nor does it change the way you lived while you were here on earth. How many have been to a funeral? Has anyone ever been to a funeral where they got up and said, this person was rotten, lost as a goose, never accepted Jesus, and today they're burning in hell? Raise your hand if you've ever been to that funeral. None of us has ever been to that funeral. What do we hear at a funeral? We hear how wonderful they were. We hear the good stories about their life, and even if they had to be made up, we make up something where it sounds like they were a great person. And everybody at the funeral knows they were a sorry piece of person. But we try to preach them into heaven. Now, you don't hear about a person going to hell at a funeral. We try to put them into heaven. No preacher, priest, rabbi, nobody can preach you or put you into heaven. There's only one. His name is Jesus. Now, that doesn't mean the person laying in the casket or at the funeral lived a perfect life. There's never been that at a funeral either. But if they ever once made that decision to follow Jesus, and they tried, and some of them try and fail, and some of them try and fail, but you see the heart. God looks at the heart and then the intents of the heart. Amen. And he knows the struggles and the temptations we live in. That's why he didn't make earth a permanent place. Amen. Now, I'm going to say this, and you may not understand it, but one day you will. It would be cruel for God to have created this earth and the sin and the disease and the afflictions and the temptations that overtake us so many times in our flesh. It would have been a cruelty of God to leave us here for eternity, to make this our eternity. Have you ever seen a loved one just drizzle up to nothing because of cancer? Well, what if that was their eternity? Come on. A person that's got Alzheimer's and dementia don't know anybody from anybody, but they're going to have to live in that state for eternity. Now, we don't like losing anyone. We don't like seeing them go on in our flesh. But I'm telling you, it is a glorious thing to be taken out of disease, afflictions, and temptation. If you know Jesus and you get to heaven, you'll never be tempted beyond anything. You'll never be diseased or afflicted. You'll be perfect as He is perfect. So it is a good thing that heaven awaits those who believe in Jesus. Now, if you don't have Jesus, death is a terrible thing for you. I tell people like this right here. The only hell as a Christian you will ever face is here on earth. And it's not even a real hell. It feels like it to what we know in our flesh sometimes. But none of you have been set on fire and things gnawing and gnashing at your flesh. Now, you've been through some things, some sickness, some diseases, the loss of a loved one, some bad news, yes, and it's finances and all this. And yes, that feels like hell, but it's nowhere near what hell is. But we call it hell on earth. Do you know for the Christian, that's the worst you'll ever have? But then listen to me. If you're not a Christian, you've never accepted Jesus, let me tell you something. You better enjoy even the bad times on earth because that's as good as it's ever going to be for you. So it's the worst it can ever be here for us. And lost people, earth is the best it will ever be for you. Because hell is much worse than anything you'll ever face on this side. Amen? But everybody's portrayed as a saint of God at their funeral. And it just ain't that way. If you lived a sorry life, you died a sorry life. Dying does not change how you live your life and what you decided to do. But we want people to say good things at us over at our funeral. We'll give them something good to say. And I tell this all the time. I want to leave my kids gifts and I want to be with them and bless them while I'm on the earth. But I can promise you the greatest gift you can leave any family is at your funeral if they don't have to wonder where you're at. That is the greatest consolation to death. That is the only consolation to death while we're here in the earthly realm. It's to look up there at that loved one. You miss them, you better believe. Do you like it? No, we didn't like it. But man, the peace that we know that their life was lived and the profession of faith was made. Woo! You know they're in heaven awaiting the final revival and the reunion of the saints. But when you don't know, you talk about living the rest of your life in torment. Waking up every day. Is he or she and burning, gnashing of teeth. Heaven is for anyone who wants to go. God will not send any person to hell, but he will honor your request to go there. It's not his plan for you to go to hell. That's why he sent Jesus to make a way out for you. And this is just my introduction, so anyway. Touch you never say everything here is temporary. The house you built and moved into, the house you bought and moved into, the trailer you live in, the apartment you live in, whatever you live in is temporary. It's not yours forever. You may have a deed to it. You may not have to pay no more money for it. You think it's yours. That property, somebody else, if the earth lives long enough, somebody else will be on your property. Someone else will be in your house. Someone else will be in your vehicle. Everything you have, your money, someone else will spend that money for you. Everything here was designed to be temporary. And yet we spend a lifetime worshiping things and idols and money and try to get all this stuff to obtain while we're here on earth, and we don't obtain the greatest gift of all, which is heaven. Now, you need a house, you need a car, you need some things to live in. Amen. Nothing wrong with that. Again, there's nothing wrong with having anything in the earth as long as it doesn't have you. Amen. You hear me say that all the time. Now, everything here... Have you ever seen family heirlooms worshiped? Can't touch mom and dad's house. They live there. So it just falls in. Well, there's a testimony. Now, I've got a few things passed down from my granddad. I have a gun from my granddad, and I have a gun from my dad, and have the first pocket knife. And they're great to look back and remember, but you know what? When I die, that's just going to still be here. Now, I plan on passing it down, but I know people who have had family heirlooms, and most people do. If you raise your hand, if you got something from someone, a loved one, and that's great to have, and again, it's good, but you know what? That's not my dad. That's not my mom, and that's not my granddad. And thank God, I know where every one of them are. I come out of a legacy of people going to heaven. Now, my granddad pushed it till 75 years old. He come close. He died at 77. He got saved at 75. Yeah, he skin of his teeth there, bless God. But he's in there. He made it. Amen. So the knife is good, the gun's good, the hair, wonderful, but it's not them. And I know people who's had a lot more inheritance than I have and a lot more trinkets and maybe valuables, and their house catch on fire and burned everything up. And every memorabilia was gone, every inherited thing was gone, and they were kind of, but you know what? They still lived. They still lived a very prosperous life without the idol of whoever's going on with it. Now, again, I'm not saying they're bad. They're good. Have them if you can. But don't worship them. As a matter of fact, when I get ready to, I'm going to give mine away. Because it's not them. Some of y'all need to hear me. Some of y'all are hanging on to a memory thing versus a promised place. I just wrote this down. Not going to be any notes. It's not about remembering them here. It's about being with them in eternity, worshiping God there. Amen? Amen. Everybody say the end of time. Boy, how many of you heard that in the last year and a half? And that may be why the churches that are tuned in, I think, are growing, because anytime there's a kind of a looking like, and we got wars and rumors of wars, and we got, you know, our nation's heavily divided, and there's terrorists and all this happening, and it's like, well, honey, the end may be getting here. We might ought to get back in church right quick. Slide back into the church and make sure that we're kind of semi-right, because if something happens, we hope we make it to heaven. Because I was pastoring when 9/11 happened. And man, let me tell you something. The Sunday before 9/11, average. Average crowd. You know, the people that didn't really want to come didn't come, and those who, you know, had something else come up chose that over being faithful to the church. And some of them was on vacation, and that's fine when you go on vacation, absolutely, not against that. But a lot of people that can be in church just wasn't that day. It was a normal Sunday. And then 9/11 happened, what was on a Tuesday, I believe it was, best I remember. Yes. Let me tell you something. We had church Wednesday. We had a Sunday morning crowd on Wednesday. Right. Bam, everybody's in church. And that next Sunday, where's some chairs? We got to set chairs out. Here's everybody. Because heaven may be fixing to happen in a lot of people's lives. And then the next week, great crowd. The next week, great crowd. And then we kind of figured out who done it. And we kind of figured out that there wasn't going to be another attack on our soil, looked like. But we were sending our army again overseas to fight. And there wasn't going to be another homeland attack. Guess what happened after about 4 weeks of phenomenal attendance? It went back within just a couple of weeks to normal. See, can I tell you, God don't want you scared into heaven. You don't go to heaven because you're scared. You go to heaven because of who Jesus is, because of the love of the Father. And when you experience that love, you want heaven because of the love, not because of, I just don't want to go to hell. I got to get to preaching the scriptures. John chapter 2, verse 23. That's the last verse of John chapter 2. Then we're going straight into chapter 3, and we're going to read about three verses there. And we're talking about Jesus here. Now, when he, Jesus, was in Jerusalem at the Passover, during the feast, many believed in his name, and they saw signs in which he did. So what was happening here? Church was happening. Jesus was showing out with signs and wonders, and everybody, we got up a gathering, okay? Go to the next verse. Now, when he was, okay, go to the next verse. John chapter 3, verse 1. Okay. Now, here we go. There was a man of the Pharisees named, everybody say Nicodemus. Nicodemus. And he was a, everybody say ruler. He was a ruler of the Jews. He was a religious man, religious ruler. Next verse. This man came to Jesus by night, Nicodemus did, and said to Jesus, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do the signs that you do unless God is with him. Somebody say amen to that. Go ahead with the next verse. Jesus answered and said, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now stop right there. Look at what Jesus told a very predominant ruler, religious ruler. Now, I could understand if this was the woman at the well. Okay, somebody who kind of deserved it to hear the words that you can't even come in unless you be born again. Now, he's not telling a sinner this, not a blatant sinner anyway. He's telling one of the most highest respected religious figures of that time of the Sanhedrin that he must be born again, that all of his stuff's not good enough. You got to be born again to get into heaven, buddy. Everybody say that's kind of wild there. Because Nicodemus, let me tell you something, he was a ruler, therefore he was a leader. One of the main leaders of the church and even the city. He was rich. This cat had scratch, okay? He was respected by many and feared by many. I mean, he's one of those that could bring up a charge against you and have you stoned or crucified. Are you listening to me this morning? Yet in all of his power and all of his riches and all of his prestige and all of his religious knowledge, which he did have a tremendous amount of knowledge, and I'm not knocking him, at least he had the knowledge to seek out Jesus still. But in all of his knowledge, his wisdom, his power, his own personal glory, his title, his success, his possessions, he still was missing something, and he went to Jesus. But he was expecting, oh, if you do this, and he's probably saying, well, I do that all the time. And Jesus looked at him and said, listen, all the stuff you got, all the stuff you do ain't good enough. You got to be born again. Got to be born of the Spirit of God now. Okay? So let me just tell you a little bit about Nicodemus real quick and see how you and I measure up. If you study the life of Nicodemus and other writings and things, you will see that everyone agrees that he fasted a full fast every 2 days a week. Every week, 2 days a week, ate nothing and drank nothing. I'm not there. I do fast more than anybody else that I know, though, because I'll eat and then I'll fast until I eat again. I'm here all day. Thank you. Hey, you got to claim it. You got to claim it, okay? But he fasted every 2 days, 2 hours a day, 2 hours every day spent on his face in prayer. I'm not there yet. There's days I've hit that, but that's very seldom. He was a professor of theology. Not just a teacher. He was a professor of theology. And he worked 24/7 at his religion and his position and his authority. I mean, he wasn't a slacker. This man did hardly probably sin much at all. Lived a very strict law religious life. And yet Jesus looked at probably one of the most religious, just stern law men of the time and said, all that's good, but it ain't good enough to get you to heaven now. You got to be born again. Whew. If he's telling him that, I know I got to be born again. Touch your neighbor and say, it'd be good for you too. Amen. What did Jesus say? All your good works, everybody say works. All your good works, all your good deeds, all your knowledge and theology about the law, not good enough. You can't get there on your works. You can't get there simply on your knowledge of scriptures. You must be born again. Of course, he asked Jesus, how is a man to enter into his mother's womb a second time? He couldn't conceive the idea, rightfully so back then, because this was the first time it had ever been mentioned about being a born again person. And Jesus goes on to tell him, you must be born of the Spirit of God now. Not religious laws, not religion, but the very Spirit of God. Can I have a better amen there?
Amen.
So here's the question I get most often about heaven. Go ahead and put it up. Well, can I go to heaven because, you know, I'm a pretty good person. Heavy on the pretty. Amen. Try that next time. I know we have a lot of sayings around here. When somebody asks you how you doing, we say blessed and highly favored and, you know, have a good day. Hey, it's the only kind I'm allowed to have. But sometimes every once in a while I'll throw this one in. How you doing? Pretty good and heavy on the pretty. They'd be like, dude, do you own a mirror? I'm like, yeah, but it lies to me all the time. But that's what most people want to know. Can I go to heaven because I'm a pretty, compared to someone else, I'm not that bad. And let me tell you, like I told you a few weeks ago or a few months ago or last year sometime, I don't want to be the best sinner in heaven. I don't want to be the best sinner in hell. I only sinned a little bit, but I'm still going to hell. It's not about your goodness. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's not about how good you are. It's about, have you been born again? Whew. I'm pretty good, though. And everybody thinks, because I do a little something-something every once in a while that we consider good, that God's going to look at you and say, you know, you did pretty good. You did. I mean, you went across the road one time and picked up your garbage from your neighbor whose garbage can fell over. Man, come on into heaven. That's awesome. Look at you. Folks, that ain't going to do it. You must be born again to get to heaven. There is no other way. Trust me, if there were more than one way to get into heaven, I would tell you every way you can get in. I would take advantage of any other way myself. Amen? And I think we're deceived to thinking, well, there's many, because in today's society where there's many gods, therefore there's many different ways to heaven. And again, God's not mean. He's not going to send anybody to hell. And God is not mean, and he's not sending anybody to hell. We've done discussed that. He's honoring your decision to go there on your own. Don't blame nobody else but yourself. John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way. That's written in red. That's the words of Jesus. When he's talking about how to get into heaven, Jesus says, he didn't say, well, now if you go over here and you do this and you pay alms, and if you go over here and help the blind man, if you go over here and feed some poor people down under the bridge, if you go over here maybe and give some money to help somebody pay their rent, I'm going to let you in on good deeds and your works. No. He didn't say that. When it comes to be getting into heaven, having a heaven assured of, he says, I, Jesus, nobody else, not Buddha, not Muhammad, not Hare Krishna, nobody else. Everybody say Jesus. Jesus. Come on, say it like you mean it. Jesus. Jesus, I am the way, and I am the truth, and Jesus says, and I am the life. And no one, no king, no president, no pastor, no deacon, no elder, no Sunday school teacher, no associate pastor, no worship team, no children's church. No one is coming to the Father except through me. That means anyone who's going to make it to heaven has got to go through Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. It doesn't say if you go through seminary and complete a 4-year degree in Master Divinity. It doesn't say that. That don't matter. It can help maybe, but it don't matter. What matters is, have you accepted Jesus? Because if you've accepted Jesus, there's going to be some evidence in your life, because you can't accept Jesus without some of the evidence rubbing off on you. Now, it's a process, and it takes time, but a sanctification process begins to come in, and you begin to repent of your sins, and you begin to pour your life out to Christ, and you begin to get into His Word, and into prayer, and into worship, and to being saying, Lord, here I am. I'm yours. Use me. Then there's evidence that God can say, well done, good and faithful servant. You can be baptized and go to hell. Because baptism doesn't take unless you receive it. And I'm afraid there's been plenty of people who's went through there and got just wet. That's all they got. And because they went through there and got wet, they think they're going to heaven. Now, let me tell you something. If you've been born again and you follow in Jesus' footsteps in baptizing and you meant it from your heart, yes, you're going to heaven. Absolutely, no doubts. But if you did it to get back in the graces of mom and dad, and you didn't give your heart to Jesus Christ, and you just went through there and got wet, we could run you through there like cattle. Doesn't mean a thing. Just come out and moo on the other side. Because baptism changes. Again, look at what it did for Jesus. Signs, wonders, and miracles. Same spirit that we get baptized into that Jesus got baptized into. Amen to that. Amen. So no one, including you, including me, is going to get to heaven any other way than receiving and believing and living for Jesus Christ. Can I have a better amen from the saints of God in this house? So this takes away any and all other forms of religion or arguments or intellect or whatever you want to call it. Can I have a better amen to that?
Amen.
Titus chapter 3 verse 5 says this. He, Jesus Christ, saved us not because of the righteous things we've done. Come on there, that's works. Not because of the righteous things we've done, but because of His mercy, He washed our sins, giving us a new birth and a new life through the Holy Spirit. It's all on Him. He does the work. And it produces the work in us. Or at least it's supposed to. You can't judge me. See, that's where you're wrong. I won't judge you no more than you judge me. Don't sit there and act like you don't judge me. You judge every Sunday whether or not I'm telling you the truth. You better judge. This stuff about you can't judge me, judge not lest ye be judged. I got news for you. We are judged. We're judged according to the works we've done in this body, whether they be good or bad, and we shall give an account of them to God on that day. See, I don't think y'all understand how accountable we are. We're accountable for what we do. Now, if you're married, your marriage is accountable to God. Do you know you're going to stand up there one day, husbands, and give an account for your wife? Now, not whether or not she's saved, but whether or not how you led her and been a man like the Bible says. It's quiet in this Presbyterian church this morning. Now, I'm tired of always getting on the men. Ladies, you will also stand because you joined in covenant too. You will stand before God and you will give an account on how you treated his prince. You want to be the queen? Treat him like a king. Come on. Ladies, you will stand up there and God will say, how did you help this man become everything I've called him to? Because ladies, in case you forgot, and I know this is not popular in modern day womenism or whatever y'all want to call it, but you were created first and foremost to be a helper, not a hindrance. Come on, brother, light that hand clap up. And don't think you're going to have the excuses, well, he didn't do this, well, he didn't, well, he didn't, well, he didn't. He said, that's why I put you there to help, not hinder. You were to help him become better. Oh, I got to go here. I'm going to be doing a marriage series again sometime, maybe before the end of the year. If not, definitely at the first of the year. So you're getting a little taste of it now. Number one thing I hear from women is, I want my husband to be the spiritual authority and leader of the house, and he just won't do it. Come on, ladies. That's what you want. That's what you say you want. You know why he's not the spiritual authority or leader in your house? Because you won't follow. I'm going to let that roast on your rheostats a minute. Oh, but I would if he would just take the Bible out and turn over into the Bible and read me the Bible and study the Bible with me. That's what I want. He would do that if you'll follow in the other places. But when you're stepping into his role in everywhere else, but, oh, you got to read the Bible. Oh, you got to study the Bible. Don't ask for the package unless you want the whole deal. Oh, I'm preaching to somebody. Amen? So what are you supposed to do? My husband can't even find 1 Corinthians. He don't even know what the Bible is. That's how horrible he is. You know what you do, ladies? Listen to me, ladies. Listen, ladies. Pay attention. You say, honey, here's the Bible. You find it. I'll wait all night long for you. Come on, honey. You can do it. It's in there. Look, it's toward the back. And if he can't find it, you know what you do the next day? You say, it's okay, honey. We're going to go to bed and know that you're going to do it tomorrow. I got faith in you. And you know what you do, ladies? You go to the bookstore and you buy him a Bible that's got those little tabs on it. And you bring it home and say, honey, I thought of you today. And I'm here to help you. And I want to help by getting this. Come on, honey, you can do it. 1 Corinthians. He'll look at that and go, 1 Corinthians, I got it. Oh, honey, I knew you could do it. You're the man. I love you so much. You're the man. I don't know of a woman today that's doing that. Not many's doing that today. Most of them's going to be, see, you don't even know where it's at in the Bible. How you think you're going to lead? You can't even lead. You don't even know the Word of God yourself. I know more about the Word of God than you do. You are speaking death to yourself, and you're speaking a bad judgment day when you got to get up there and give an account for your smart mouth. I'll be on the men coming up soon. Don't worry about it. That took time out of my message, but it's okay. It's not what you do. It's what God done. And when God does what he does, then you'll start doing what God tells you to do. And everything you will give an account for. You'll do marriage the way he says do it. You'll witness the way he says witness. You will worship the way he says worship, not the way your personality wants to. Because when you get born again, it's not about you being alive. As a matter of fact, death, burial, and resurrection is in the water. It's in your baptism. I'm dead to my personality. I'm dead to the traits that keeps me silent. I'm dead to the things that embarrass me. I'm dead to the things that I'm ashamed of the gospel, and I'm coming up alive in Christ Jesus. Amen. I'm going to be the husband God called me to be. I'm going to be the wife God called me to be. We're going to be the parents God called us to be. We're going to be the obedient children God called us to be. I got to move on quickly. I want to go to Luke chapter 10, verse 17 through 20. And the Word of God says this right here, because this is a scene where Jesus had sent his disciples out, listen to me now very closely, to do the work of ministry. He sent them out two by two to do the what? Everybody say the work of ministry, because ministry is work. He sent them out to do the work of the ministry at that time. And they went, they went, and they had success. It was, somebody tell me, it was good. Luke 17, 10, 17 through 20. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Somebody say, that's a good. They've been out there casting out demons, bless God. You go to do that in a church today, you'll clear out half a church. Amen? No, I ain't going to say it. Yeah, I will. And the other half's got demons. Anyway. Demons that we're dealing with. So the 70 returns with joy. Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And you would look at Jesus and go, man, that is great. And he did, man. He began to praise them. Watch this. Jesus said to them, man, I saw Satan falling like lightning from heaven. You guys are, whoo, you tore it up. That's my boys. Go. Then verse 19 says this. Behold, he says, I give you authority to trample, not just mess with, but to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Way to go, guys. Woo! Now you're doing it, man. You've watched. I done it. You watched. You've done it with me. Now I send you out by yourself to do it. Man, and y'all tore it up. That's awesome. Somebody say, that's awesome. Until you get to the next verse. And Jesus got them hopped up here, but then Jesus says this right after this. Go ahead and put it up. But nevertheless, do not rejoice in this. What? Don't rejoice in the supernatural power. It's good, and it needs to be a part of the church, but you don't find your main rejoicing in that. Do not rejoice in these signs, wonders, and miracles. That the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Yeah! And that's the excitement. I see people what I think get really born again and then they still live in this life. You know, do you know what the real mercy of God would be? The day you got born again, and the joy of the Lord hits you, and your sins are washed away, and you're in that buzz, and you're on that high, and you're excited, and you just feel like you could go charge hell with a couple of water pistols. Yeah. It would be glorious right then if God would just kill you right then. Take you out in that glory. Why? Because you're going to come off that high. You're going to have to go back to work Monday. Your husband still can't find 2 Corinthians. Your wife still can't cook a casserole. Your kids are still a little rebellious. Your dog won't even come to you when you call him. Your boss is still a jerk. And all of a sudden, it's almost like you got over being saved. Or you get excited and you go into ministry and you start casting out demons and you start giving an accuracy prophecy because that gift comes on you. Or you work at this and you draw people and you're a soul winner and all that. And you get caught up in that, but you forget to have a relationship with Jesus. He says, all this stuff is good. And there is rejoicing in that. But make sure you keep the main thing, your main thing. Your name is written in heaven. It don't get any better than that. Do we want to see the lame walk? Yes. Do we want to see the deaf hear? Yes. Do we want to see blind eyes open? Yes. Do we want to see those premature in death raised from the dead? Yes. And let me tell you something. You want a little bit of revival? Start having that happen. You'll have all the revival you can stand. Until it gets familiar. Until the buzz wears off and then people go home. Because I got to get them to go to work the next day. I can't serve the church at night all night. That's why revivals doesn't last very long in America, very seldom. There's been a few moves that's lasted several years, but even those begin to fade out after time. But don't ever get over being born again. I've been saved since I was 16, and I'm still not over it. As a matter of fact, I'm even more appreciative of it now than I've ever been. I'm more thankful than I've ever been because I'm saved. Amen? And all the other stuff is just a bonus of being saved. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen? Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. And let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we do not faint, if we do not lose heart. But what happens is when we get saved and we kind of get the life going on and we got heaven, we think already just secured and yeah, I'll go and I'll die, whatever. And don't just trudge through this life. High step through this life in the name of Jesus. High step through your problems. High step through the temptations. Have a plan when the enemy attacks. Listen to me now. Have a plan when temptation comes. Because if you don't have a plan, proper planning prevents poor performance. You need to, let me say that again. That's a lot of P's, ain't it? Proper planning prevents poor performance. And that's in life in general about anything. Your marriage, your job, your hobbies, whatever. Proper planning prevents poor performance. The Bible says those who don't have knowledge, my children are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Your plan is the knowledge of what to do. So when the temptation comes, do you already have a predetermined plan if you're tempted in your flesh? Do you have a predetermined outcome when that lustful thing pops up on your screen, on your phone, or your computer, guys and gals? You already have a preconceived idea of what you need to do with that. Gone. Not Ooh. Come on. Because when you don't already have a plan, you're subject to the feelings of that moment.
That's right.
My plan is to go to heaven. My assignment here is to work the plan until I get there. And that plan includes overcoming temptation. That plan includes worship and praise and prayer and offerings and giving of myself and going the extra mile. And it's not because of my role as a pastor. It would not change because I've got a title. I'd still be doing the same thing if I wasn't pastoring. Why? Because it's a child of God's calling and responsibility to the Word. So many people faint and get weak of heart. Come on, let's go. Got a couple of more notes I want to go over real quickly. Put the first note up. Going to heaven means I'm already powered by heaven here. I'm not waiting to get to heaven to operate in power and strength. You'll find that out week 3. I don't waiting to go to heaven to live a good life. Can I have a better amen there? As a matter of fact, in the disciples' prayer, Jesus taught the disciples to pray, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And here it is, y'all. Your kingdom come, and your will be done on earth just as it is in heaven. So in other words, that to any believer, if you can't understand this, you need to go back and just get your tabs out and turn there. Start over again. Not make a buddy, but you need to start over the basics. If the Bible says we can pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, that means heaven's not just a destiny to wait till we die to go. Heaven is something to be experienced here while we're on earth. That's why anytime you get something that's not of God in His Word, you need to call heaven down to earth in that area. And I know I'm going to push your faith limits here. No, yeah. And we still live in a fallen world, and yes, sometimes we're subject, but we don't have to agree with it. Even though it may be on you, even though you may be subject to it at that moment, you don't have to agree with it and receive it. And I know there's a massive outbreak again of, I think, one of the COVID strands or something right now, and everybody, I'm going to get it. Well, there's not COVID in heaven, so why do I have to have it on earth? Because I'm not just a human being on earth. I'm a supernatural, created, born-again, Spirit of God human being on earth that does not have to be subject to what regular people are. If there's no problems of that type in heaven, there should be no problem for that type of us. We can walk in that kind of faith. Now, you don't walk in that kind of faith just by attending church. You walk in that kind of faith by attending a relationship with God every single day of your life. Getting in His Word, growing in His Word, not waiting to Sunday to get you fixed. You get you fixed Monday when you get up. You're in the Word, you're in the Spirit. And there's so much on this, but I got to get another note up for you. Real quick, we're going to close with this for real. Tell the teachers they're coming. What keeps people from accepting Jesus and going to heaven? The answer's up there. Pride. Everybody say pride. Pride. I got a new definition of pride, I believe, that no doubt the Holy Spirit gave to me. I've never read this anywhere else. Pride, one of the shoots of pride. There's several different shoots, like branches that come off of pride. It's a trunk. And one of the main branches of pride in the last 50 years has been this right here. Deceptive intelligence. Man, when the Holy Spirit spoke that in me about 3 days ago, I was like, I wrote it down. I said, Lord, you're going to have to unpack this. I know when I hear the Holy Spirit. You can't convince me anything other. And I know I heard that, but I didn't understand it. I didn't even know it was for this message. I just heard deceptive intelligence. And then when I began to manifest in the final stages of putting it together, deceptive intelligence come out as pride. Deceptive intelligence is this right here. I'm too smart to believe in a God that's that simple. I have too much college education and too intelligent in my own beliefs to believe that there's just a God who created the world and He sent His Son to die in my place, and that they're three, but they're one. I'm too intelligent for that. I have a doctrine degree or a theology of this right here, and a PhD. You know what your PhD stands for? It means you're piling it high and deep. And you know what you're piling up too, a load of crap. You're welcome. When you think you're smarter than God, you are in a world of hurt. But pride keeps us. Pride says, I don't want to give up this lifestyle to get that lifestyle. Because you've been deceived by what a Christian lifestyle is like. Look up here. Do I look like I have a bad day? Do I look like I'm living a miserable life? I'm having more fun than most people I know. And on my way to heaven doing it. I can remember everything I did Friday night, Saturday morning. I don't wake up with a headache. I don't wake up with pictures of me doing something bad on the internet. I love my Christian life. I'm having fun that doesn't lead me to hell and destruction and disease and early death on earth. It's awesome. Am I without trials and tribulations? No. But when they come, I can face them with the power of the Holy Spirit. Another bonus. I'm living my best life. And it's all because of Jesus. It's not because of what I've done. It's because of the great mighty power of our Lord and Savior who loves you. And then some people think they're too cool for heaven. I'm just too cool for heaven. I'm too cool to be a Christian. My friends think too highly of me. I got a saying for that the Holy Spirit showed me. Too cool for heaven? Enjoy roasting in hell. If you too cool for heaven, you're going to be roasting hot in hell. And you ain't going to be cool there. Stand to the last scripture reading of the last word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. For it is the wisdom God designed that all the world's wisdom would be insignificant to lead people to discovery of himself. So all the world's wisdom will not lead you to discover who Jesus Christ is. Your degree in psychology ain't worth a flip to get you into heaven. Your degree in anthropology, not worth a flip when it comes to understanding the humanity of Jesus Christ. None of your big degrees, none of your on-the-job training, no trig, no calculus, no geometry. All the wisdom in the world, program, computers, hackers. God's design that all the world's wisdom would be insignificant to lead people to discovery of himself. Put up the next one. For he took great delight in baffling the wisdom of the world by using the simplicity of preaching the story of the cross of Jesus in order to save those who would believe it. And nothing has changed. It is the simplicity of the cross of Jesus that he was alive for you, he died for you, went into the belly of the earth 3 days, come back, defeated death, hell, and the grave for you, paid for your sins, where you could receive him and go to heaven eternity. Why in the world would somebody do that? L-O-V-E. He loves you more than you love yourself. And this morning, if you've never received his love, not man's religion, not church membership, just bow your heads with me real quick. None of that is offered today. We never offer anybody, we want you to join our church today. Now, a lot of people join through growth tracks, and that's fine. But right now, you're not joining, we're not offering you a church membership. Your name on our roll does not get you into heaven. But your name on the roll of heaven through Jesus Christ gets you there. And that's the one we want to make sure you're on today. Whether or not you ever come here is irrelevant. You need to be somewhere, but it's irrelevant to eternity if your name's on a church roll. Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? And there's only one way to write it, and that's by receiving Jesus Christ, repenting of your sins, receiving Christ, and then living for him and obeying him best you can as you grow. If you've never done that, that's what we offer you today. No religion, no church membership, a full surrender to heaven eternal through Jesus Christ. If you've never done that and you know today's your day, and I believe you're not here by an accident today to hear this message, I've come to tell you, sir, ma'am, you must be born again through Jesus Christ. And that's what we offer you. And if that's you, just lift your hand right now and say, I'm not going to waste another day. I don't want to take the chance of going to hell. I'm going to secure my eternity through Jesus. If that's you, just throw your hand up. Anybody? Anyone? Bam, right there, one. Bam! Yeah! Yeah, 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 yeah! Come on, don't get familiar with it. Celebrate, church! Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Only by the blood. Is there anyone else? Real quickly. Anyone else? All right. We're not going to linger here. We're already in overtime. That's the best part anyway. But we're going to pray with the person that raised their hands. And let me tell you something to the one that raised your hand. Maybe you didn't. There's going to be a prayer team up here in a little bit. Maybe you're one of those, man, I wanted to, but if I could just get out of here, if this service will just end where I can get out of here, I pray you can't get past the doorknobs. There's going to be a prayer team up here at the end. You can come up and get prayed for your job, your finances, your marriage, a healing, a doctor's appointment, whatever. Nobody's going to know what you're coming for, but you can walk up here to any of these and say, man, I need to surrender my life to Christ. And especially if you raise your hand, I want you to come up in just a little bit. No, there's going to be other people coming, so we're not calling you out. You'll just flow up here with everybody else and say, I was the one that raised my hand. They want to love on you and hug you probably. I hope you're a hugger because they probably want to hug you. Congratulate you, and then they're going to pray a blessing over you. And we've also got something we want to give you that's going to help you when you leave here, to help you lock it in and go forward. Okay? But together, I want us to pray as a family of God with our new brother, sister in Christ. Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, here I am. You've been after me for a while, and I've known it, but I just didn't know how to surrender. And Jesus, I still don't know everything about it, but today I know enough to believe and confess with my mouth that you, Jesus, are real. You are the Son of the living God, and you did come to earth and die on a cross and shed your blood to pay for my sins. I realize I could never pay for them myself. I can't get myself into heaven, but I know you did. And today I have faith that you are so real, that you hear my prayer today. I repent of my sins. I ask you, Jesus, to come into my life and be my Lord and my Savior. And I thank you for that. I receive it in Jesus' name. Today, because of my confession of faith, I am right now a born-again child of the Most High God. I am saved in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give Him glory in this house.
Thank you for watching or listening to the Journey Church Message Replay. Be sure to hit the like and share buttons below to help us spread this message. We would love to connect with you. Leave us a comment, or for more in-depth conversations about what you just heard, you can contact us by clicking the email link in the notes below. And be sure to check us out online and on social media just by searching Journey Church Eva. Now that you have been empowered by God's Word, go make a difference in your world today.